Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Spotlight with DJ Gatsby. Friday afternoon here in Fort Lauderdale. Got a wonderful, wonderful show tonight. We got my man Oscar Sanders calling in from the Bronx. Mr. Sanders, are you on the line yet?
Yes, I am.
All right. I was getting worried about it. Just hit you in the inbox and Facebook. But you're right on time, B. Thanks for calling in, man.
Absolutely, man. That's my nickname, right on time.
All right, I'm feeling you. Once again, everybody, like I said before, it's yours truly, DJ Gatsby, a.k.a. Mr. Going to Sexy. You listen to The Spotlight, the spot where you listen to all the hottest rappers, authors, people in the music business, sports and entertainment. We're putting it in, we're putting it down. We got the hottest guests in the business. Again, tonight we got my man Oscar Sanders. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. He's born in the Bronx, New York. He's founded a multimedia company called Malcolm Entertainment. He's a multiple award-winning filmmaker of music videos, features, and short films. The jazz documentary Billy Bang, long over, was heralded for his innovative cinematic style of filmmaking. Yo, that's a mouthful right there, my brother. I did my research and did my homework, man. Let me give you a chance to tell me about who you are. But first of all, I want to tell you, I met Oscar at the Ubawa Book Festival back in the Bronx. I believe that was last year in the Bronx.
That's right.
Wonderful event. Big shout out to Danielle Lewis for putting that on, man. Now, I met you there. You know, I kind of touched base with you. I think I took some pictures. We spoke briefly, and I told you I wanted you, you know, to be on my radio show, man. And I really appreciate you accepting the offer to come in, man. I really appreciate it, man.
I appreciate the fact that you reached out because you were very gracious and I respect your hustle. And people that are going out and promoting themselves and writing and creating great content need people like Jeff, you know, to, you know, get them out there, you know, because there's so many barriers in terms of, you know, new people and new artists and new filmmakers coming out, you know, and putting their work out there. And you're basically like, you know, like a Christopher Columbus, man, for, you know, the creative world, because you're constantly exploring and, you know, and exposing people. And, you know, we need people like you, and we need more people. But you know something, you've been doing, I've been watching you, and you know, you're very dedicated and respected, which is very important. And I salute you, man.
Yeah, thank you for the words. I'll write a check later on, man, for you for giving me that nice introduction. I make sure I tell my publishers to cut a check for you, man. That was a nice, I like the way you said that, man. I might bring you on, introduce me more often, man.
Anytime,
anyway,
anytime.
But anyway, Oscar, man, tell the people who don't know who you are, who've never met you, haven't read your books or seen any of your work, tell them a little bit about who you are, where you're from, man, and what you're doing right now.
Okay, basically I'm from the Bronx, you know, and okay. I've always been very creative. My brother and my sister were much older than me, so I spent a lot of time by myself. And starting out when I was very young, I used to watch a lot of black and white films, all the film noir stuff. I loved the suspenseful drama and the movies where the cinematography was, you know, very dark and suspenseful and dramatic, you know, like the Casablancas, you know, and the Big Sleeps. One of my best favorite actors was always Humphrey Bogart, you know, and Jimmy Cagney and John Garfield and these type of guys. So when I got about 16 or 17, I bought like a Bell & Howell camera, one of those handheld cameras with the Kodachrome packs of film. It looked almost like a short 8-track that you would put in there, and you would shoot the film, and then you would have to bring it to a store. I used to mostly go to, like, there were pharmacies at that time, or there were Willoughby Peerless, which is still in Manhattan, not as big as it used to be near Madison Square Garden, and develop it, and I would get this editing equipment and put these things together. And while other kids were, like, you know, their parents were, like, you know, picking them up from the precinct, you know, I was writing with other people, writing scripts at, you know, 15 or 16 years old, and making movies, man. We used to do drug scenes. We would, like, you know, take flour and put it in baggies and make cocaine, and then we'd rent.
All right.
Huh?
No, I'm listening.
And then we would go out and rent, like, OJ cabs. Remember the OJ cabs and whatnot?
Yeah, I remember the OJ, the 98
yeah,
OJ.
We go way back now in the time machine. And we would go out to the airport. And we would go into Midtown, and we would just, permit. You know, what are you talking about, permit? As they say, we don't need no stinking permit, you know, as he's in Treasure of Sierra Madre or Humphrey Bogart. We don't need no stinking, you know, permit. And we would shoot these, and people would just, they would stop, you know, because we were like, even at that time, we were like breaking stereotypes as like African-American and Latino kids, because we were out there, you know, shooting movies, man, you know, where kids were like getting in trouble, or they was getting high, or they just was, or, you know, whatever they were doing, you know, and or they were, you know, more along the lines of, you know, playing sports and stuff like that. You know, we were out there making movies, man. So, you know, I did
that. Hold on. I'm going to cut you off, man, because I see you. You're very passionate about the movie thing, but you know, as an interviewer, I gotta walk you through this process so people can see how you got exactly where you are.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, take me back to the beginning, man. You said you're from the Bronx. Did you go to school in the Bronx? Did you go to film school, or how did you making movies and form your Malcolm Entertainment? That's what I really want to know. How did you actually get started in the business? Because, being a novice, just shooting films and doing things of that nature, you don't win awards. You don't get to shoot music videos and shoot documentaries without a foundation. So how did you actually get started, you know, in the film business? I see where your passion came from.
Okay. At that point, what happened was, man, I just went back out after being a jazz musician for a long time. And that kind of couples in with, at that point, I had some problems with substance abuse. And, you know, subsequently, you know, through sales of controlled substance, went to jail. That allowed me to separate myself from being a musician. And I actually, that's how the first book, Final Hearing, actually got started. Then when I came out, I didn't want to associate myself with musicians anymore. I don't know if I was scared or whatever it was. And I know that there's a lot of musicians that don't use. But anyway, I stayed away from that, and I got back into film. And how that happened was I started, like, all the, like, VHS films and any kind of, like, workshops that I can go to, or through trial and error, and working with another brother of mine, David Palmore. He has since passed away. I started picking up things. And basically how I learned, it was basically from just watching movies, you know. And I was always a fan. Yeah, I went to workshops, and I went to editing school. But outside of that, I didn't go to, like, you know, I didn't go to, like, a university or anything before that. It's kind of like I started in 2005, and I started to, like, do films that eventually became better films. And what really started to really help me was DVDs, actually, because that became my film school, because all the special features, you know, on the film, anything where a director, you know, or producer had something to say about how that film was made or how the film business, you know, was run, I soaked that stuff up. And
I'm gonna cut you off right there. Now you growing up in the Bronx, I'm trying to get this timeline right. You were very inquisitive about filmmaking at an early age. But mm-hmm. you're singing and you had a music career.
Right.
And you were a jazz musician?
Yeah, I actually
What instrument did you play?
I played guitar. I played jazz guitar, and I sang some, and I gave up. I was going to Queensboro Community College, like, for liberal arts and music composition and theory. And then I had an opportunity to play with a brother that I actually did my last movie with, who has since passed away, also named Billy Bang. He was my brother's friend. He was the babysitter.
Hold on. I don't want to cut you off again. I'm sorry for cutting you off, man, because you're trying to tell me the whole story when I give you an opportunity to ask a question.
I'll slow it down.
Yeah. So I see what you're doing now. You're growing up young, you're enamored with film, you learn to play the guitar, you become a jazz musician, and you work with some very talented artists. But then you said your music career took a turn, substance abuse, you subsequently end up doing time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come out, I picked the story up from, when you came out, you wanted to go in a different direction with your life. It looks like you went back to film. Because I'm trying to figure out, how did you actually start working on these projects that you did? Because you said you came home
mm-hmm.
and you started working on indie films. I read about Splitting Hairs 2.0, Why Hire a Killer. And these projects were film projects that you did before you started writing Final Hearing, is what I'm looking at.
Right.
So
well, I had did some writing in prison for Final Hearing, but because I was, you know, I don't know if I'm ADD or what, but, you know, I have so many things that I, you know, want to do. So I started to, like, put that down, and I started working with other brothers in prison, you know, in the law libraries and helping other people. So, you know, when I got – see, that's how I tackled writer's block, because I was lucky enough or blessed enough to have so many interests that if I got stuck on something, I just went on and did something else, you know.
All right, but now, quick question, though. You said you're a multiple award-winning filmmaker.
Yes.
What are the films that we may have heard about – or can look at that you were a part of? And because I see in your bio you mentioned Splitting Hairs and Why Hire a Killer. Well, you know, what is your most popular film? And what is your most popular?
I guess it would be the last documentary that I did, which was Billy Bang Long Overdue. But I started out writing short films, and then from the short films, I would make them into feature films.
So which are the feature films? Because I see Why Hire a Killer and Splitting Hairs. What about those two films? When were they produced? When were they released or available on DVD? How can your listeners look at some of your film work? I'm going to talk about the book, too, but real quickly, how can we, you know, see those two projects?
They could get them on my website, because I had two of them distributed through another company specifically to Indonesia, and that didn't work out.
Get them on your website. What we'll do, I'll give them the website where they can go ahead and look at those films and get some additional information. Once again, everybody, it's Who's Who on Epic American Lit Blog Talk Radio Show. We're here with author and film producer Oscar Sanders. We got my man George Knight and Cash on the line. He's going to be coming up in a few minutes. I think he's already here. Let me just check him out.
I'm here.
Cash, is that you, my brother?
Excuse me?
I'm saying we got Knight and Cash on the line. George, is that you?
Yeah, that's me. What's up? Assalamu alaikum, Gatsby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I'm going to rock my tour a lot. Yeah, we got my man Oscar Sanders on. I don't know if you listened in, but he's talking about his film career and his experience as a movie producer We're going to start talking about his book in a second. I'm going to bring you on, too, because you're my next guest. You got a new book coming out. So, Oscar, you still there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's our second guest. You want to give him a shout-out real quick?
All right, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good, good. I'm listening in the background, and I like that you have an eclectic palate where you can get into a lot of things. I'm kind of the same way.
Right. Hey, man, you know, I enjoy, you know, some people, you know, just find reasons to be sad. I find reasons, man, you know, that, you know, every, you know, people talk about heaven, man. I love it right here, man. I ain't trying to go nowhere, bro. I am not trying to go nowhere. I like it right here. And, you know, at 55, I've actually started to get a lot better and more precision, you know, to what I do. Because now I don't make the same mistakes, you know, anymore. Like some people say, I wish I was. Yeah, but when you young again, you got to be dumb again. You know, you don't get to be sharp. You don't get to be mature, you know. At 16, you have to be where you're at. You have to be in real time. So I'm enjoying life so much, man, because and it's all has to do with my parents. It has to do with my brother. It has to do with just people. And
wow,
I was exposed to so much stuff.
I mean, Oscar, before we get off topic, totally.
Okay.
I want you to talk about Final Hearing. Final Hearing is the latest novel that you have. I think it came out in 2014.
It's based
on real life events and personal experiences that you say you went through. Tell us a little bit about Final Hearing before you go, because you're going to bring on Cash to talk about his two books.
Absolutely. Final Hearing is a political suspense drama true crime, and it basically takes you through like a Bill and Hillary Clinton type of character that happened to be celebrated Bronx city councilman, and they are murdered in two different places in the Bronx in a restaurant. Joel Bernstein, you know, is poisoned, and then subsequently there's a runoff and an election, and his wife Judy Bernstein, who is part of a partner in a white shoe law firm on Wall Street, becomes his successor. Then from there, the whole story unravels on these two brothers, because once those two are murdered, the brother, through election law, you know, becomes the city councilman, and he.
All right, I don't want to cut you off, but we don't want to give away too much of the story. But
right.
I see it's a murder mystery, and it's concerning two brothers who are also in politics. And subsequently, it sounds like they're going to be charged or suspects in that crime.
Right.
I'm going to bring you back on to talk more about that book in a minute.
Okay.
You know, we spent a lot of time talking about the film. We're going to talk about the book, you know, where people can get it and a little bit more about you. But I just want to remind everybody, this Who's Who in Africa and Connect Blog Talk Radio Show. You look to the spotlight with Jeff Wilson, my guest, author, Oscar Sanders, and my man George Naeem Cash. Cash, thanks for being so patient, man, and coming on the line, man. Welcome to the show, man.
It is what it is. I like to hear two brothers in a cipher of something positive. So it's no problem at all.
Okay. Well, you guys may know George Naeem Cash. He's actually one of the authors that assigned to WBMG Publishing, my publishing company. He released The Good and the Bad in 2015, done very well, a story based on his life. And he also just released a new short story on Kindle only called The Sounds of Sing Sing Prison, A Day in the Life of a Prison Inmate. Cash, man, tell us a little bit about yourself, man, for those who don't know who you are, because you got Oscar on the line. He's in film. You got a background in music as well as books, man. Just tell those people who haven't heard you before a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what you're doing right now.
Well, George Cash, obviously. I was born in South Carolina. I grew up in New York all my life, so I'm a New Yorker. And a lot of things went down in my life at a young age. Subsequently, I ended up being a drug trafficking bank robbing gunslinger to make it break it down succinctly. Along my journey, I got rubbed elbows with a lot of people in the music industry. I was under a record contract when I was in high school with Sugar Hill Records. Met a lot of people in that world. Spent time with the Jacksons. It was just a blessing, but it was a nice 45-minute blessing. So I had an inside track on that. Music has been my basic love. I started writing literature when I had music block, and it was you, Gatsby, that just said, you know, because I followed you since you were a book club president, and now, you know, radio, TV, and all of those things, but you saw that anybody has a story, so my story's out there now, and my autobiography is The Good and the Bad. I've earned it, and like Gatsby said, everything about me really is in that book, so I hope this motivates people to get a copy. It's never too late for that. And currently, we just released Sounds of Sing Sing. I was just sitting around one day in my work area, and I just started hearing the sounds that I went through in the 48 hours while I was in the maximum security prison, Sing Sing. And if you're from New York, you pretty much know that. And if you've been in the underworld,
yeah, I do.
You know that also. You know that also. We all know the notorious prisons, and Sing Sing was one of them.
Yeah. Now, you glossed briefly, you talked about the good and the bad as you told people a little bit how you are. That book, The Good and the Bad, you know, he opens himself up, man. He shares his success and his failures as transition from coming from a boy to being a man, and tell about how he was a very talented singer and a musician, and how that whole life of being in the music business was crushed through no fault of his own. And again, as you were saying earlier in your story, Oscar, he ended up in the streets, he ended up with a life of crime, and you know, you can read the book to find out about how that all unfolds. But with, and Cass, I always got to bring this up, man, with the publishing of that book, The Good and the Bad, and how has your life changed? You know, because at the time you wrote the book, you were in prison. You published it. You were living in South Carolina. You spent a lot of time in New York. Now you're somewhere else doing big things out in the Midwest, man. How has your life really changed? And you know, since the publishing of that book last year.
Well, just that handful of cities that you just named is an obvious change. Now that I'm published through WBNG Publishing, the fact that I can name four cities and I've actually seen them all within 12 months, my life has changed in that way. I'm meeting people that are in literature, but it expands. I'm meeting creative people, and that's always been my goal. I've always wanted to be creative with whatever God gave me and be able to eat off that. You heard me?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I'm loving what's happening. I'm loving what's happening. I'm loving, you know, it's a grind, but I understand it now thanks to being under contract like I am and seeing what people that try to, you know, publish themselves. Anybody can do it, not everybody. Let me clarify that. Anybody can do it, but there's a lot that goes into it. But I like the direction that my life is in now.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm definitely proud of the progress that you done made, the stories that you done did. Again, you know, you got The Good and the Bad out. You just released The Sounds of Sing Sing. You have another short story coming out called The Yard, as well as The Good and the Bad Part 2, hopefully later this year. Now, I know you're doing a lot of things in the city that you're at. You're out of Oklahoma City. I know you did an African-American festival. You did a reading out there. I understand you have your books in a bookstore out there. You know, tell us a little bit about what's going on out there in your new city.
Now that my boots are on the ground here, I'm still trying to build my infrastructure. But, yes, I have had some contact in the literary world. I've done some things with African-American heritage since I landed here. And the Full Circle Bookstore was good enough to let an event take place in their store, and it was during African History Month, so American, you know, Black History Month. So it opened up another door, and I met some people in doing some networking. So I'll be doing a signing next Saturday on the 16th at Full Circle Bookstore, and I'm also touching base with musicians and rappers and singers and such because I really am anxious to get back in the studio. And now that I've, you know, located certain places and talked to certain people, music is going to be also another focus that I'm going back to, because you know me personally, that's my true love. But writing is writing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, about that Full Circle bookstore, can you give us the address for that that bookstore? But if anybody's listening out there that want to come out, when are you going to be there, tomorrow?
I'm going to be there next Saturday. I made a mistake and posted tomorrow, but it's actually the 16th. I'll be there at 3 p.m. It's Northwest Expressway and Penn Avenue in Oklahoma City, but I do have that address. I always tag that anytime I mention Full Circle, so the tag with Oklahoma City will, you know, get people to know exactly where that address is. But, yeah, that's taking place next week, and I'm very honored that they have my book in the building.
Okay. Before we go too, man, the yard. Tell us a bit about the yard. Again, you know, we've you just released Sounds of Sing Sing. You have another book, a short story coming out called The Yard, and it's also based on some of your experience. Tell us a bit about that book and what those readers can look forward to The Yard when it's released, which we don't have a release date yet, but when that comes out.
It's almost like a blueprint to things that I was going through. Now, this particular story came out of me because of Green Haven Maximum Security Prison. So I don't know who in the country knows about Green Haven, but it's right up there with all of the rest. And it was just a situation that I was finding myself in, that once I became, you know, close to a few brothers in there, we would go outside and a lot of people just walk the yard. You just want to walk, talk, and think. And I kept seeing this same person every day, making a point of coming around the yard and making me feel like he had some history with me. And the story is more or less, I was learning to be dangerous through other brothers in the prison, but that was just so I would live through the prison experience, not to be a bully or a show-off. But if he was going to make a move, my whole time with that yard story was, now that I know how to kill, will I kill? So you have to read that story to find out exactly what I'll do, because I learned the skills in there. My lawyer said once when I first got into trouble that sending this young man away is sending him to a graduate school for crime. And believe me, I learned a lot of things I didn't know until I went to prison. So now I'm a dangerous weapon, and a fool wants my attention. That's what the story's about. And I give it to him.
Once again, everybody, it's Who's Soon African Millennium Blog Talk Radio Show. You listen to The Spotlight. Got author George Cash right now talking about his latest book, a short story called Sounds of Sing Sing, and his upcoming short story, The Yard, which is due to be released later this year. We got a caller on the line from the 954 area code. Caller, would you have a question for Oscar Sanders or George Cash, or a comment?
So this is Oscar, and I guess George Sanders, too. My name is Kenneth Newman, and I'm in Florida, and I was recently in the Bronx. I remember Oscar back in the day when he was using his finger roll on the basketball courts. What I wanted to ask is this. How you doing? I always found it interesting how people felt most comfortable when they were writing and where. Some couldn't make a schedule time, and they just had to write right away. And there have been some writers that I've known of that could not do it on the screen and the computer. They just felt it took their creativity, and they had to just have a pencil and paper and do it that way. How do you guys feel most comfortable doing your writing, if I could ask?
All right, Oscar, you want to take that first?
Okay, I'm a longhand guy. I'm a longhand guy, and I use like small pieces of paper. I don't throw anything out, you know, even flyers or anything that I receive, because you know I might write and create small passages or anything based on that. And then now, you know, with the advent of
hold on, Oscar, and that was just going to cut you off. But he's really wanting to know how you write, man. We're almost running out of time. I want to give Cash a chance to answer that question. Cash,
okay.
Question was, how do you write and put your stories down?
Well, I can admit to a little theory. When I started meeting people in the literary world, such as Mathis Stowe and people like that, and Joy Alon and Richardson, they all said the same thing. Whenever you feel like you can write, just write. Whether you feel like you don't want to write or not, you already know you're a writer. Write every chance you get. That's the short of it.
Mm, Okay.
Yeah, but you write on the computer. I know you write on the computer
a lot.
Yes,
I'm on the computer.
Those are your books.
I did longhand too. I was a songwriter. I was a songwriter in prison, but there was no computers when I was doing my time. But now that they are, I love the computer. It's much easier to correct things. You can look at it in different fonts, and you know, I just move faster now that I am on a computer. But I do like to put the pen to paper every now and then. If that's the way you're comfortable, if that's the way the story flows out, that's what you gravitate towards, in my opinion.
All right, my brother, did they answer that question for you? You have another question for the office?
Yes, thanks very much.
Thanks, Duke.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right, once again, who's on African American Led Block Talk Radio Show? The spotlight, man. Oscar, before we go, Cash, I'm going to let you close us out. But Oscar, before we go, where can people find your books, your films, follow you on social media, or communicate with you if they want to know more about who you are and what you do?
Okay, you can always go to my website, which is malcolmentertainment.com. I'm at Oscar Sanders on Twitter. Follow me. Keep up with what I'm doing. And ask me any questions you want. malcolmentertainment@yahoo.com. If you wish to email me some stuff you might not see actually on the website, you can email me. I can get you those posters, those movies, or some anything. Also on Facebook, Oscar Sanders, and like my pages, Billy Bang Long Overdue, the movie, and the current film that will be released this year, Michael Carvin, No Excuses, the movie, which is about master drummer Michael Carvin, who played with everybody from Marvin Gaye to Marvelettes, Bobby Hutcherson, Freddie Hubbard, Hampton Hawes, a legend, you know, and that'll be out this week. So that's basically how you can get in contact with me.
All right.
And
you know, I just realized that both of you brothers not only are authors but are musicians. You know, Cash plays the piano, and I said, Oscar, you play the guitar, man. I just kind of put those two things together, man. I didn't realize that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's right. Because he did. Yeah, he's a songwriter. Well, he didn't mention about the keyboard. The piano thing, but that's cool. That's cool.
It's my release.
Yeah, man. Hey, I wish I was still playing because we could do some like Crosby, Stills and Nash kind of thing, man. You know, you know, do it and go on. But I'm on sabbatical. You know what? Why somebody told me take sabbatical? He said because you might have stopped playing, but you never got rid of your equipment. My equipment is right here. You know what I mean?
I'm looking at mine right now.
Yeah, I don't understand. I haven't played since 1992 or 1993. But I have never got rid of my guitar. I got four guitars and speakers and pedals and all, but I still have them. So there must be a reason for that, man. Who knows, you know?
Just knowing that they're right there in arm's length is enough for you right now while you are in hiatus.
Yeah,
that's
man.
The way I look at it.
And listen,
I know
thank
I can
you, Jeff.
Play anytime
thank you so
I want
much.
To. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, listen, this is great having you on. Cash, man, I know you on Facebook. I know Twitter and Instagram, but tell the people
all
where
that,
they can find
yeah.
you on Facebook. Other ones.
Pretty much, I could just mimic everything that Oscar just said. I can be reached the usual ways, and anything somebody needs to know, you know, how to get purchase material and stuff like that. All of your pages. You're my publisher, so you know if they reach out to me or they can reach out to you. All our material is in one, so you know everybody that knows how to get in touch with you will know how to get in touch with me.
Yeah, you definitely answered that right. All of Cash's books are available on Amazon on paperback, and Sound of Sing Sing is on Kindle. You can follow him on Facebook as well, Instagram, and Twitter. You also can find him on Who's Who in African American Lit website, where he has his own author's page set up. Again, Oscar, man, thanks for coming on, Bob. Really
can I say one thing?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Okay, my upcoming book this year will be It's called Ice House, which is the metaphor for prison. And it's called Ice House, How Incarceration Made Me a Better Man, and the philosophy on making America whole, which is basically talks about prison reform and how to keep us out of prison and what the tools that we need to stay out and what keeps brothers out. Because I have a whole chapter to testimony based on, mm-hmm. you know, that. You know, maybe I can talk to Cash about that also. You know,
one day we might can get into a cipher about that. I know that we know a lot of the same things, so we can share that information at some point.
Yeah, man, I would love you.
I would love you to
say something in the book, you know, about that.
I don't know if you guys met each other, but you know, we all were at the Ubaba Book Festival Day in the Bronx.
Oh, then I did meet him. He was walking around with you.
Yeah, that's Cash.
Yeah, we met.
Oh,
we met already.
Okay, we did meet at the Book Festival.
Yeah, we met
all
right.
Definitely. We're gonna stretch out a little bit, you know, going all forward.
Right. Yeah, man. Sounds good.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to working with everybody, being you know, in touch with everybody a lot closer this year. I got two radio shows, a lot of things coming up. I got some traveling in the future, maybe or maybe not, I'm not sure. Cash, real quick, the good and the bad too. Someone told me to make sure I asked you about The Good and the Bad too, and can you tell us a little bit about that book? I know it's coming later this year. You have done a little bit, but what can you tell us about The Good and the Bad too? It's due to drop sometime in 2016. What can you tell us about that book?
It's a continuation of my escapades and shenanigans, basically. To make a long story short, I spiral out of control at some point, and I bounce back. That's a brief synopsis of it, but people that know us personally, they're going to look forward to seeing whether or not I graze up against them. You know, just having fun. It's a cleansing for me, just to get all of that stuff out of the way and out of my head. I'm tired of renting space in my head about it, so I'm gonna tell it.
There you go.
All right, so there it is. That listener who wanted to know a little bit about Good and the Bad Two continues on from the end of Good and the Bad One. I think he's about 25, 30 years old. And book one, book two will take you on into the later years. Cash, any last words before we go, man? To any family and friends out there listening.
I'm glad you are up and running with your blog radio again. I mean, I'm old hat at this. We've been grinding it out on the radio since the beginning. So I'm glad you're still doing all of that. We'll talk behind the scenes with, you know, publishing business and things of that nature. But right now, I'm just, like I said, I'm building my infrastructure down here in Oklahoma. So I'm pretty focused right now. And writing.
Right,
so don't let anybody think I'm not writing. I'm writing.
All right.
And Oscar, man, before you go, anything to say to your fans and followers, man, before we shut it down?
Just thank you, man, you know, for those who are already following me and reading my books and leaving those great reviews. And if you're out there, you know, just continue to write them up on Amazon, man, and let people know, because, you know, the word of mouth is, like, phenomenal. I mean, you know, I'm selling books word of mouth like Molly's. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah, it's amazing how, you know, I understand more and more why, you know, like a lot of stuff that Ludacris used to say when he first started, you know, and how, and Tyler Perry, and I do that better than a lot of, because, you know, sometimes people look at names and they look at, you know, status, you know, but all of that gets better. But the word of mouth is a powerful tool, man. I mean,
let's
in terms
keep
of
that word of mouth going. Let's keep that word of mouth going. Once again, don't forget to check out that book, Final Hearing by Oscar Sanders, and also check out The Good and the Bad in paperback and Kindle by George Lang and Cash, and also The Sounds of Sing Sing on Kindle only. Once again, it's DJ Gatsby. Make sure you check out Who's Who in African American Lit every Wednesday at 6:30 and every Friday at 6:30. Fellas, I'm out. Thank you all for calling in, man.
Thank you, brother.
You're very welcome. Good talking to you again, Oscar. Peace out,
gentlemen.
All right, man. Absolutely, man. We got to stay in touch.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Peace.
All right. Peace to you.
Pay attention. Oh. Let's all form a line and focus. Yeah. 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 Pay attention. Oh. Let's all form a line and focus. Yeah. 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 Pay attention. Oh. Let's all form a line and focus. Yeah. 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 Pay attention. Oh. Let's all form a line and focus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pay attention. Let's all form a line and focus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. pay attention. Let's all form a line and focus.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Pay attention. Let's all form a line and focus.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Pay attention. Let's all form a line and focus.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Pay attention. Let's all form a line and focus.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Pay attention. Let's all form a line and focus.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Pay attention.
Just in case, remix, ta. New Jaheim.